Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
I must have been away too long because my feelings are dead. I feel no remorse.
Called into
another meeting.
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
Sorry to have another meeting here, Juice. But
I'm looking forward to this one because at least this one, we can have a little bit of fun.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's been 4 weeks.
Has it?
Yeah. We haven't been on since the. Since the preview, season preview pod, and you know, I don't think that was intentional. I think it was kind of like one of those things where, I don't know. I mean, you know, we're busy people, right? Things get in the way. But I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad it did happen, because before we get into jump at the football and baseball playoffs, we gotta talk about the blockbuster trade that happened Friday night. Holy shit!
Zesty.
Wait, can I just start off by saying I miss Woj, because I immediately thought it was a fake trade
when I got a couple of texts already.
I was like, okay, another. I thought it was one of those, you know, those Bleacher Report, like, what if this happens kind of deal?
Right.
Like, somebody sent me a graphic, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess that'd be a pretty cool trade if that happens.
Well, you know how we always fall for those fake accounts? Like, it could be Woj, but or it could be Shams, but, like, one letter is off,
yes,
or they add, like,
yes,
a period or something. I thought it was fake like that. I didn't ignored it.
So did I.
So wait, who did break it? Like, was there someone, or was it just
Shams?
It was Shams. Yeah. Okay.
Also, I forget, when did it happen? I totally forgot when it happened. Now
Friday night, 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock, something like that.
Leon loves these late night trades on the weekday.
Yeah,
I think Mikhail was late.
Yeah,
that's right. OG, that was on the weekend though, pretty early. I remember it was a Saturday.
I was
out of the blue.
I was in the same place both times. I was at my parents' house for both trades in North Carolina, which is kind of random and
That's
coincidental.
Weird.
But yeah, for both. And come to find out, this Cat trade could have happened back when the Mikhail trade happened. I guess on draft night they were trying to do this, but the Knicks weren't willing to include Dante, so it held up. And then I guess they revisited and offered Dante, still wasn't good enough, and then finally offered the Detroit pick, and that got it done.
Which I don't understand, because the Detroit pick is not going to convey ever.
I know.
Ever. No.
I didn't get why it was that, but yeah, I think, like all of us, you know, we all took some time to process it. It's now been, you know, 4 or 5 days here of processing. I'm going to say this. I mean, I still miss Dante. We got like a year of him. That kind of stinks. Randall, I think we always kind of saw this potentially happening. But I mean, we got essentially what the best shooting big of all time, technically.
I don't agree with that, but he said that himself, that he's the best of all time. I don't agree with that, but I think he could be
not technically, statistically. I mean, statistically,
he's one of them for sure.
Like, isn't he doesn't he have the best 3-point percentage of any big ever?
I think 40% on 4 attempts a game for his career. I don't think anyone's done that at play center.
That's what I mean by that, Juice. Not that he's actually the best ever.
Like, he's probably not better than Dirk if you call it Dirk.
Right. Exactly. So. And he's 28, still young.
Yeah,
he's been playing in the league for a decade, which is crazy. You know, he was a one and done at Kentucky, so he was 18. Obviously, you know, he's known for being, you know, maybe kind of soft.
Local guy
though, North Jersey, I think. Machutin, whatever, however you pronounce that. Grew up a Knick fan. you know, has been linked to the Knicks forever, right? I feel like we all kind of saw this happening.
It's a really unique trade in that it is by all accounts, this is a blockbuster trade, absolutely. But I think it's a trade where you look at it and maybe 5 years ago, Knicks fans would have been so excited, but I feel like Knicks fans are 50-50 on it. They're like, oh, I don't know. We gave up a lot. And the other thing is, like, I don't know if either team got better.
Okay.
I think both teams maybe stayed the same, and I think it's really risky for the Knicks. I think they could potentially, if things don't go right, they could be worse.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I actually love it for the Knicks. And I think a lot of that's because I never really saw Randle. Like once the Knicks got Mikhail, I never saw Randle as a guy who was going to like fall in line and just like get like touches whenever he could get touches.
Right.
And also, like DiVincenzo with Mikhail and OG and Josh Hart, there's a lot of overlap there. So I think something kind of had to give, or else someone was going to be upset with the minutes distribution. So I really like it for the Knicks. They get a shooting center, 40% from deep. That's going to open the floor, open the paint for guys like Brunson and guys like Josh Hart who like to get in the paint. He's going to have so much more space to operate. The Knicks have never had a center that can do the things that Karl Anthony Towns can do. And then if you look at Randall's stats in the playoffs, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. So
just do
17-9-3 career, 34-28-75 slash line. In his last series, which is against Miami, he shot 32% from the floor on 15 field goal attempts. So that is the worst percentage in NBA history for anybody that's taken 15 field goal attempts a game.
Wow.
So essentially in his career, he hasn't had many playoff opportunities, but he's been one of the worst postseason performers in NBA history. So when you factor that in, and then you get a guy like Towns, who's been all NBA, who even in a down year last year, quote unquote, in a bad fit, he averaged 22-8 and made the All-Star team. He's 22-10 in his career. He was a first overall pick in the draft. Like, now that's your second option. You don't need him to close games. I think it's a slam dunk trade. And on top of that, like when they made that Mikhail Bridges trade to quote unquote go all in, I didn't think it made sense because it's like, okay, yeah, you got Bridges, but like, did it move you in terms of tiers in the conference? Maybe not. But when you add Towns to it, now it all makes sense to me. Like, this is like the final piece to the offseason for the Knicks that kind of put everything together. So I really like it for them. I think the upgrade from DiVincenzo and Randle to Bridges and Cat, I think it's more significant than people think, because both Bridges and Cat last year were kind of in weird situations. So I think now in a better situation, I think you're going to see them both flourish. And then the last piece of this for me is Thibodeau is obviously going to give this the green light because he's worked with Cat before. So the fact that he's been on a team with Cat, he's coached Cat before, and he's like, you know what, I'm good with this. That gives me even more confidence for the Knicks. So I think this is a home run.
Okay. I love it. I love it.
There's a couple things, though. Like, this team was good. Upward trajectory. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, they put all this effort into getting the Villanova thing together. And he didn't even get to see it for one game.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I kind of questioned, like, why do this trade now? And in thinking about it makes me think that somebody else was like kind of close. Like maybe New Orleans was trying to get Cat and they had to move.
That's my thing. I would have waited till the deadline, but maybe they didn't have a chance. I would have loved to see Randle with the full team healthy and playing together. We'll never know.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll never know.
I don't think they needed to rush it that fast.
We'll find out, right? I mean, coming off this injury, maybe there's something the Knicks doctors or the Knicks are just not revealing about Randle. Maybe it's worse than we think. Maybe that had something to do with it.
It could be also as simple as, listen, Leon represented him. That was Cat's agent.
Yeah.
And he knows him, and they've always been trying to get him for years. They had an opportunity to get him. There is something to be said about, okay, if Cat is a top five center and he just signs his monster deal. And then all of a sudden, just by circumstance, because there's a lot of volatility in the Minnesota ownership, like if somebody of his caliber gets free, I guess you got to do it, right? You have to. Like at the end of the day, it could be as simple as who's better, Julius Randle or Karl-Anthony Towns? And then you just take Towns.
Because
these guys don't free up. It's hard. When they free up, you have to have enough assets to go get them.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. I was going to say they didn't give up a
Randle.
Sorry. Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead.
Eventually, like, they were going to have to pay Randle. That's one huge issue that wasn't. A lot of people weren't mentioning, like, they talk about Towns' contract, but Randall's going to get a shit ton of money too with the cap going up. His contract might be like even close to Towns, right?
So right.
They had to make a decision. I guess if it got closer to the deadline, they would have lost some leverage, you know, because teams know they would have to get rid of him. But, you know, I'm warming up to the idea. Like, Adam, you laid it out great. I mean, the spacing is going to be unbelievable with them. But it does knock your depth down like a good amount. I mean, that's two really good players for one guy, right? So that's
who you're
replacing that with. There's no one that they have on the team that can.
Maybe they love.
DiVincenzo was honestly, like, for long stretches during the playoffs, he was the best player on the court.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Dante's awesome. Maybe they love Kolek. maybe they think he can fill that void.
DiVincenzo, he's pretty special.
I know
he's underrated nationally, and I think the Wolves, man, I'm gonna be rooting for them. Definitely, that's like my second team this year.
Yeah, no, they're gonna be good. Yeah, gonna miss the Ragu. I mean, fuck, I just met him. You know, I have that, you know, signed picture of him. I'm like, what do I do with this now?
You have the t-shirt. What happened? You're going to still wear it or not?
That too, the t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. Can I, you know, get Dante off, put Mikhail's head in? I don't think so. it stinks. And, you know, you think about the players too. It's like, damn, right before the season's supposed to start, before training camp, and their lives are just upended like this. Yeah. But it is a business. They know that, obviously, they're probably upset. Dante's pretty private, though. We won't really know, but
I think Randle, he donated like $1 million to one of the local Bronx schools, and that was a week ago.
Wow.
So that's the tough part about it, too. I think, like, listen, there are certain days where, like, more other people than me, but people hate Randle, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's just like, it's his stupid face, right? He always has this, like, curmudgeon look on his face.
Yep.
And he could do all things great, but, like, you just look at him, he looks so unpleasant, and people hate him for that.
What did he see the faces that Towns makes?
You know? I know. What I really appreciate about Randle is, man, like, the guy comes in the offseason, the guy's a gym freak. Like, he's working out, like, very low percentage body fat on him, comes in and he'll play so hard. He plays every game. Granted, it's probably not the style, like the ball sticks and, you know, in his hands, and he doesn't maybe give up the ball as much as he should, but he comes to play. He brings that grit, that toughness. He's a dog, you know what I mean? But I don't know. It worries me about Cat. The Cat is just, he's the opposite of that. So
definitely the biggest worry. But yeah, I mean, the spacing will be amazing. It's kind of like, you know, they probably looked at the Celtics like, hey, you can't leave one guy on the court on the perimeter because they're going to hit a three.
Yeah.
Now the Knicks have that, which they didn't before. You know, we had Mitch and Precious and Ihart, who probably could shoot threes but wasn't really allowed to. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, we didn't have that threat. Now we do.
I hope they post him up too a good amount.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like on the, you know what I mean? So
I have a feeling they will, because I think teams are going to be like, all right, we're going to try to hide a small guy on him if he's on the perimeter. And I think the Knicks will probably take advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And Cat can, you know, something people don't talk about, he could pass a little bit too.
He's good passer.
Elite pass. Just an elite offensive player in general. Defense, they got to. Hopefully Tibbs can you know, get that out of him, you know. He could shot block. You know, I think it's all about effort. It's going to be interesting once Mitch comes back, putting those two together.
Maybe play Cat at the four.
Yeah, I think that's what they're gonna do once Mitch comes back. I don't know about
because
starting.
I don't.
Yeah,
he's
like their wing depth is very, very minimal. There's really nothing.
You mean after Hart? After the starters. After the starters. Yeah.
On the bench.
No,
like,
I know.
What's on the bench? OG gets hurt all the time. Like he gets banged up. Well, who steps in?
Daddy Ed.
Paconi? Like Toppin? There's no one. There's no
I know.
One
I know.
There. I'm sure they'll get a vet, but their rosters are pretty filled up already.
Yeah, I gotta think deadline they'll make that move.
Now I'll say this: yeah. Like I have a lot of trepidation with this, but that being said, like he's on the team, and then you start to get excited. Like last night, I couldn't sleep for a while, so I was like, "All right, I'm wide awake. Let me just like look at some of last year's highlights for Karl-Anthony Towns." And like they call Kristaps Porzingis the unicorn, but Karl-Anthony Towns is a freak of nature. Like to see somebody that big with that shooting touch and how the range on him, he shoots it deep. And if he's around the rim, you know, he's so big, he'll just like slam it down with power and everything. But I mean, it's like it's really special watching guys that are so big like that move so well and be so skilled, so talented to like gracefully shoot a basketball or the way they finish around the rim. It was pretty cool. It's pretty cool watching him.
Yeah,
like it was really a fake first round pick. That was the only pick they gave up. Like when does that happen? Like a 20-year-old guy in his prime, like who's made all NBA and you got him for like the only draft pick you had to give up was a first round.
That is true. That is true. We didn't really have to give up too much of the farm there to get a guy like him. And he won a 3-point shooting contest one year, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. I mean, this guy.
2021, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty. It's funny when our shooting guard is probably going to be our worst 3-point shooter and Josh Hart. But Hart was actually starting to shoot the 3-point ball well second half of last year. So, and definitely in the playoffs. So, you know, it's not like he can't do it. And then guys off the bench. But, yeah, I'm sure they'll eventually address maybe a wing guy off the bench. But we do have some guys off the bench. It's exciting. Ready
to
go.
Where, Adam, you're non-biased here. Where do you put this team, like, in terms of talent of the starting lineup? And, like, where do you see them, I guess, in the fray of things in the Eastern Conference?
Put it this way, before the trade, I would have said they're pretty much in the same spot as last year. I would have said probably, you know, a conference finalist if things go right, or a second round exit if things don't go right. But right now, I think it's them and Boston in the East, and everyone else is way behind.
Way behind, yeah, okay.
That's my opinion. It's Boston, and then the Knicks are like right behind Boston. If things break right, I think they could beat Boston. And then after that, you have like Milwaukee and Philly. But I think they're both of those teams, I think, are in the rear view.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I mean, Pacers, do we even consider them? I mean, Knicks full strength probably beat that team in five or six, right?
When I look at Indiana and I'm like, they remind me like that Hawks team that made that run in the conference finals. Yeah.
That's a good comp. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's exciting. And, you know, training camp, it starts next week or this week? Did it start already? Technically?
It's they had media day yesterday, and they're supposed to be flying out to Charleston today.
This week.
Oh, they're doing Charleston. Didn't they do that back in the day, or have they been doing
in
that?
Last year too.
Oh, they did do it last year. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. Pretty exciting. Anything else on this before we move on to football here?
I'll say just from the Minnesota side, I think Kat and Rudy was always a clunky fit. So I think Randall might be like a slightly better fit next to Gobert. So I kind of like the trade for both teams.
Okay. Yeah, I'm wondering if once Mitch comes back, because Mitch was, he's been in trade talks, but I'm assuming they're just going to hold on to him.
I would. Yeah.
I would definitely.
You need him in the playoffs, you're going to need him.
He came up huge in that Philly series. Absolutely. He can't stay in the court.
They lose without him.
Yeah.
100%.
So he's definitely a weapon. I'm curious to see how that will look next to... Because, you know, it's like a Gobert, right? It's a defensive guy, you know? So
yeah, well, they could try it, and then if it doesn't work, like, it's good to be matchup proof. It's just good to have them.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Oh man, yeah, that got me super pumped for for NBA, and that's a good transition here, because it was, you know, that happened on Friday, and then I had to watch that Jet game Sunday, and that put me right back in my Jets slumber once again. But I was like, oh, you know, at least the Knicks are starting soon. It's like, you know, typical Jet fan thinking the season's already over. But what a stinker. I mean, that was terrible. You know, especially being at this Jets bar down in Wilmington around all these Jet fans. And, you know, it was just like, ugh. Talk about, like, just such a terrible game.
Yeah.
But
I knew it the first drive. That was it.
Oh,
ball start.
Yeah,
start the game, and then like a 5-yard running loss, and then Garrett Wilson fumbles. I was like, okay, it's that game.
That type of day. Yeah, and you know, it. I mean, it looked horrible down. It looked freezing cold, rainy. It looked terrible.
It was gonna rain. That wasn't even in the forecast at all. The whole day.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So that just came out of nowhere. Interesting. Yeah. It definitely affected. Rodgers had one throw where it slipped off his hands. He had another throw to Conklin, which would have been a sure like thing, like first down, 20 yards, and he underthrew him.
I thought the excuse of rain and the coldness was such bullshit. Because, Adam, me and you went out. We were together that day. It wasn't that cold. They're making it seem like it was like a 30-degree day.
Yeah, no, it was kind of nice.
It was a cool day, and the clouds were out, and it was drizzling. Yes. It wasn't
Both teams are playing in it. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like,
yeah.
Sala.
He's like, when Sala said that, I was like, get the fuck off.
Listen, we were at Miller's Ale House, and there was like a Jeep convention there, and all the Jeeps had their tops off. So
yeah, it was weird. It was weird because like Rodgers had long sleeves. I think Sauce had long sleeves, and then I'm looking in the crowd, and there's like people like that looked like pretty bundled up, and I'm like, is it that cold there? Like, what is going on? It was weird.
It's like 60 degrees. It was fine.
I know. Yeah. I know. I know the Meadowlands could get a little like windy. Maybe that was it, and with the rain, I don't know. Whatever.
This game was like the nail in Salah's coffin. I don't think he's going to survive. Like, this was just like he was exposed, and I was joking around with you guys about Denver Broncos money line, my bet all week. But the more and more I like kind of talked myself into it, because I was when I looked at it, I was like, okay, you have Sean Payton versus Robert Saleh.
Yep.
I was like, let's figure this out. It might be worth a little bit of money.
Yeah, no, that was smart. I mean, Jets Saleh beat him last year in Denver with that, but barely. I don't know if any of you guys remember that game, but we needed like a fumble recovery to win the game. Remember that, Paul?
I think he beat him back to back in Denver. No,
Peyton wasn't his first year last year.
Oh, you're right.
We beat Hackett the year before that.
Hackett,
and then Hackett
that was a little crazy.
Oh,
man.
That's right.
And then Hackett beat us on Sunday. Just terrible play calling, especially at the goal line there. You know, I've been saying to other people, like, this was like a Zach Wilson type game. Like, our defense elite, you know, holds them to 10 points, and then we just couldn't get points. But we had Aaron Rodgers.
That's what, like, Saleh, he puts that in. Everybody plays tight. They got to do, like, no mistakes. Like, you know, when he, like, last year against the Raiders, he said, oh, it's a race to 20 before the game. Who says that in today's NFL?
I know.
Who says that? You think Andy Reid's going, it's a race to 20? Hell no. Like, you have to, aggressiveness is rewarded in the NFL. And he's completely opposite. He's not going to change. That's the way he is. So, you know, he's not the guy. I think we've known since year one and a half, he's not the guy.
Yeah.
I don't like him. I don't care how much talent they get. They're not going anywhere with him.
Absolutely. No, I've kind of knew, like, yeah, same. I kind of knew, like, I feel like right away, like even in year one, you can already see it.
Yeah.
That this guy's in over his head. He's defensive coordinator. And we've had this type of coach like multiple times now. So it's like, you know, it's brutal. And
I mean,
And the worst part is we were coming off that statement win against the Pats on Thursday night where it was like, okay, this team has turned a corner. They're not the same old Jets anymore. And then they just revert back to same old Jets.
That's they come out so, flat. Yeah. They come out like lacking energy, 15 penalties. And what's his record after like a long break? Like 1-9, 1-10? That's all coaching.
Yeah.
That's coaching.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are you guys worried about Rodgers at all?
No. I'm really like, what, like health-wise?
I just feel like he doesn't look like exactly the same Rodgers that was winning MVPs.
No, like, I just hope he's like, it's always got to be, you know?
Yeah.
If they were feeding Braylon Allen more, you know, leaning on him, they threw the ball 42 times. What are you doing?
Yeah.
The Broncos they probably single play.
Yeah.
Those screenplays, run the ball. Like, you're first and goal from the one, and you don't run Braylon Allen once, it's infuriating.
Mind-boggling.
They threw a freaking a pass to Solomon Thomas, the backup defensive tackle.
Oh, my God. I know.
This is what you draw up? Like, come on.
Yeah, ridiculous. I think they're afraid to admit that Braylon Allen might be better.
He's better.
Than Breece Hall. I think that's definitely an issue. Now Rodgers had one like really bad throw where he underthrew Conklin. He was wide open, would have been a first down. And then he had the one where it slipped off his hand. So I guess like two. I'm not really worried. He was getting a lot of pressure.
Garrett, he just didn't even turn to look at the ball. He just like ran into the defender.
I think Sertan's one of the best corners in the league. I think he had him on lock. I think that's really what it was with Garrett.
Yep.
Which we need Devontae, I think, more than ever, which, you know, that could happen while we're recording right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right? That's looking really, really, it could happen any minute. But Devontae Adams.
They got to be careful. They got Minnesota coming up in London.
Ugh.
And then you get Buffalo on Monday night and then at Pittsburgh. Ugh. At Pittsburgh on a Sunday night.
And then we got to turn around and play Thursday on Halloween. Against the Texans.
That's a tough stretch. Tough stretch.
I mean, they'll be lucky to go 2-2 in that stretch, which puts us at 4-4. You know? And then the schedule,
And beat Buffalo, sure. But, I don't know. It's tough. They can easily be 2-5, and then it's too late. It's over.
Oh, yeah. Then Salah will be gone. I don't know if... You know, Hackett probably stays on as offensive coordinator. They probably upgrade. They probably promote Ulbrich, and then it's just you know, will Rodgers come back? And what do they do now? Like it could get ugly real quick. So they got to go get Adams. They got to figure it out on offense. Defense, you know, I mean, they had that one bad, you know, drive. You know, the Broncos scoring drive, and then. They're struggling stopping the run though. That's definitely a weakness on the defense, which is funny because their best run stopper was on the other side of the field than the Broncos, Franklin Myers. Yep. So,
I just like the offensive coordinator, the coaches, like they're the whole group. I feel like there's no adult in the room. Like Aaron Rodgers is the adult.
Yeah. It goes back to that clip on Thursday night where, you know, Salah's trying to hug him after one touchdown. And he's like, hey, act like you've been here. Like, come on, dude. Calm down, you know? And there's that speculation, too, whether they get along. So, we know him and Hackett get along. Rodgers has said, like, he loves Hackett more than any other coach in the league, which sucks to hear because...
It's so weird.
Maybe he's a nice guy. He's got this obsession with who's the character from Austin Powers? Austin Goldmember or whatever.
Goldmember?
Yeah. He's got this obsession with him or something.
He loves Goldmember?
I love gold.
Yeah, it's like, yes. I love God. It's like this random thing. Yeah, they talked about it on Hard Knocks last year. I don't know. No. So anyway, but yeah, that part stinks. That, you know, Rodgers is never, you know, he's never going to throw Hackett under the bus. I don't think. Just going to have to kind of deal with that. So,
yeah, they'll win Sunday. He'll pull us back in, and then
lose Monday night. Yeah,
yeah, get destroyed on Monday.
Yeah. I think eight and nine or nine and eight. I could see 9-8 and like missing the playoffs.
It's just the worst thing.
I don't know. I think if even making playoffs, I don't even know if that's enough. I think
I know.
You got to win. If you don't win a game, I think they're going to fire everybody, including Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. No, if they don't make the playoffs, it's a full-on rebuild. Joe Douglas, even, I think.
Yeah, yeah, everyone.
Has to be.
I think he's a good GM, but you have to.
It did feel like the offensive line really was a problem this past week.
It was. Maybe
missing Moses.
Moses, sure. Yeah. I think that was a problem.
And a lot of it is like scheme and the play calling. Like, they were blitzing every play. Like, make them pay for it. They just, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was bad.
It sucked. And then speaking of, you know, blunders at MetLife, we had the G-Men on Thursday night also not score a touchdown. So we had both Jets and Giants in one weekend score zero touchdowns at MetLife.
Well, listen, the Giants are going to be in hell until they get a new quarterback, period.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Daniel Jones is the king of moving the ball from one 20-yard line to the other 20-yard line. But he can't get in the end zone. Shannon Sharp, I think, said it best when he was like, hey, listen, if he makes two or three better throws, like, the Giants win the game. I think it was more than that. I remember watching that first half. There was a couple plays, even where he's hitting Neighbors. Like, if the ball's placed differently, the Neighbors is going to pick up an extra 10, 15 yards or more. But he never puts the ball in the right spot. I don't know. I just this is just going to be what we're watching until he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
No, absolutely. I think Neighbors is awesome. I mean, that's definitely something that's a positive for this team.
Yeah.
Is you know, Neighbors is a stud.
Listen, the line's protecting him pretty well, and Wandale Robinson is kind of emerging as a second option. So, like, there's stuff there.
He's been good, too.
The defense has played pretty good, too. But, like, you know, you're only as good as your quarterback. So,
yeah, Singletary's been good. Yeah, it's really just Jones. I can't really find anything else. You know, it was the kicker in the Commanders game, or lack thereof.
I don't know. I don't think Dable or Shane are going to survive this.
It's just a shame because Dable, I feel like, is a good coach. You know, I feel like he'll get hired in a second by another team. I hope the Jets scoop him up.
Do they have a tight end, the Giants? Have they thrown to a tight end this year?
Yeah, it's true.
We have Bellinger, and then we have a rookie that we drafted in the fourth round, Theo Johnson from Penn State. He's a monster, but he's really raw.
It's weird. You don't see him like get any action on the field. Tight end. He used to use the tight ends a lot, I feel like, Dable.
That's true.
I don't know what happened.
For me, like, this team, it just comes down to the same thing. Like, they don't draft the right players, and they have no vision. They have no strategic, like, this is a plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to draft players to compete against the Eagles, and we're going to beat the Cowboys and all that. They don't do any of that. Joe Shane, and it showed it on Hard Knocks, he's basically flying the plane and building it at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. So I think this team is just kind of, this is what it's going to be until somebody comes in and says, this is my vision. This is how I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh, you hit the nail on the head. It's like when you watch the Ravens, it's like, okay, you know they're going to run the ball and they're going to play defense. When you watch the Steelers, it's the same deal. When you watch the Chiefs, you know it's going to be spread out. They're going to be scoring points. And we're at the Giants. It's like, what do they do? Like they don't. They there's no identity. You're absolutely right.
And you could tell. You could just see it. Like the way they draft and game plan from the draft, it's all over the place.
Yes.
None of it makes sense. Like you look at other teams. Like you take the Seahawks for example, right? They draft so that they have a plan on defense, and they build out the secondary. The D-backs are all the strength of their defense. Build it out that way, and then they figure it out. And then last year, they get a monster D tackle. Like, they have a plan for how they're doing all this stuff. And that, like, what the Seahawks were doing is also aligned with beating the Niners, beating the Rams, right? Like, we don't do any of that.
It's so true. Like, and then you see guys get drafted by certain teams. Like, even the Chiefs, like, they get Worthy, and you're like, oh, okay, that's going to work out. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they got a really fast receiver for Pat Mahomes. Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
But then, like, what are the Giants doing? Like, there's nothing. There's nothing there.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jones is just, like, no fire in him at all. You know, it's just kind of like that same face. And
when you have high picks, like if you're picking in the top 10 year after year, and you continuously miss on the top 10 pick, like for every miss, I feel like it sets you back 2 years.
Yeah.
At least. Could be more. So they've had multiple misses. Like Evan Neal sucks. Thibodeau, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Deontay Banks looks great in spurts. Neighbors is good. I think they really lucked into having Neighbors, but that's only because everybody was taking quarterbacks, right? So the whole thing got shifted.
Yeah.
True Phillips is good. He's going to be really good.
Yeah, third round pick. He's good. But like for every pick that they've made, like for offensive linemen, they're all busts. And it's so aggravating because I just read, I think I sent it to you guys over the weekend, like Rutgers has the best offensive line in the country. How does Rutgers build a fucking offensive line before the New York Giants in 12 years? Like Rutgers. What the hell?
Yeah. Shiano, man. Rutgers is coming, like, undefeated.
they need a GM who knows how to evaluate talent. The whole scouts, everybody needs to go. They need to evaluate talent. And then somebody needs to have a plan, have a vision, have an identity. You want to rush the passer. Fine. Go with that and build off of that. You want to build a wall that nobody can touch the quarterback. Fine. Go do that. Like, figure it the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating. And they're 1-3, and then the rest of the schedule, like, they play Seattle at Seattle next week. Good luck.
L. That's an L.
That's an L, yeah. Yeah, Seattle, they, you know, they...
Especially getting blown out last night, they're going to be pissed
off. Yeah.
You know what? The defense will keep them in the game, and the Giants won't get in the end zone, and that's how that'll go.
That's probably true. Seattle.
One more thing, it's just so frustrating, right? Because, like, we've known, this is what, year 5 or 6 for Daniel Jones? Like, we've known probably after year 2 that this guy ain't it, right? So we essentially wasted 3 to 4 years when guys like, you know, Jared Goff has been traded in that time frame. Baker Mayfield was out there, right? He's out there, and now he's flourishing. Geno Smith has made a career. Like, these are just guys that have been out there, wouldn't have cost a lot to get, but other people have figured it out and how to use these guys, and they're all succeeding. Fucking Jared Goff went 18 for 18 for 2 touchdowns, caught a touchdown. Like, come on.
I know.
You know what's crazy? Like, 5 years ago in the NFL, like, once these quarterbacks flame out with one team, like, it never works out on the second team. But I feel like now it's happening a lot where these quarterbacks...
Because this is what it is.
Second, like, yeah.
Look at Sam Darnold right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think what it is these quarterbacks get picked at the top of the draft where all the dog shit teams are, like, sorry, the Jets, the Giants.
Yeah.
All these terrible... The Browns. Bears, all these terrible teams, right? And the one common denominator between all these shit teams is they don't know what the fuck they're doing. None of them. They have no plan, no vision, no good coaching, none of it. So all these quarterbacks end up in shit situations. They suck. The teams don't know how to draft or surround them with talent. So they bottom out. Then they end up on teams that know what they're doing and can figure it out and can coach and can develop. And now look at them.
So, you know what I'm wondering now is who's the next guy? Like, is there a guy out there for the Giants that, like...
Yeah, it's Zach Wilson.
I swear to God, if that happens, I might be just done with football, like, with NFL.
It won't be on the Giants, though, because the Giants are shit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, the Giants will figure it out.
But
it's going to be on the Steelers or something crazy.
If it just happened to be the Giants, though, like, of all teams, I'd be like, or the Patriots or something, you know what I mean? Or Dolphins or, you know, one of these teams who I dislike. Oh, that would be brutal.
I was going to say, maybe the Giants could take a flyer on, like, a Trevor Lawrence if that doesn't work out. Or you know, I don't know.
Oof. Yeah, you put his stats next to Daniel Jones, it's like the same. It's hard to believe Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl.
It looks like he's losing games, right? Like, he's throwing games.
The Jags are just so bad.
It does.
Yeah.
The game one versus Miami just torpedoed their season.
Exactly.
And fumbled. Like, literally, it changed everything.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They're, one play.
Yeah.
They're 0-4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Etienne, if he walks into the end zone, which he should have done, off of that touchdown.
They're blowing them out.
It could have been. They could be 4-0 for you know. Like, yep. it's that brings me to my next point. The first 4 weeks, you know, essentially like the first quarter of this season has been wacky, like really wacky. Like the parity is like stronger than ever. You think a team is amazing 1 week and then they stink the next.
You can always tell by the survivor pool how crazy they are. Like, yes. Everybody, like 99% of people are already out with double elimination. Like it's just been, it's crazy. It's so much parity.
It's so much parity. It's been nuts. I mean, Vikings and Chiefs are pretty consistent, but that's about it.
I think Belichick used to say it. The first 4 weeks are almost your preseason.
Yeah.
Like, because these guys don't like play in game speed until the season starts. So, I don't know. You get a lot of wackiness and crazy because it's just sloppy football. Yeah. And then I think as the season goes on, the real guys will kind of separate.
I want to read this tweet I found pretty interesting. This is from Derek Thompson. I don't know who that is.
Hey, Derek.
Hold on, let me look. Oh, he's a writer for The Atlantic. I guess he does football stuff. But he said, the state of the NFL passing game through 4 weeks. Highest QB completion rate ever. Lowest average yards per catch ever. Fewest interceptions per game ever. Highest sack rate in 32 years. Fewest passing yards per game in 21 years. It's a running league now.
Weird. Yeah, it's crazy. Teams, they said it. Like, all these teams are playing like that... you know, too high, like cover two.
Yeah.
Just limiting the big play. Like, they're just making teams methodically go down the field and hope they make a mistake.
Yeah.
Or, like, a big sack, and it's just a copycat league.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind it. It was getting a little out of control with the video game numbers. It was too much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It definitely should. Well, I mean, the Dolphins, they, they have, you know, little bigger issues, obviously, at quarterback.
They haven't had a lead this year.
Oh, they haven't?
In a football game.
Holy shit.
The only time they won game one on a field goal with 0 seconds left, they have not had the lead.
That is crazy. I had no idea.
Mike McDaniel.
Oh,
what goodness. I said he's just Minkus with a bright link. That's what I said last night.
Yes.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
That watch is bigger than him, by the way. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He's getting exposed. I mean, again, Vikings and Chiefs look like the only, you know, two like really solid teams. You know, every other team's been like Jekyll and Hyde. I'm trying to think of another team. I guess Seahawks have been, well, I guess last night, not really, but I'm trying to think what other teams.
I like the Lions. I really do.
Oh, yeah. You know, Lions have been consistent. Didn't they lose a game recently, though? Pretty bad.
They lost to Tampa
at home, which was weird. Then Tampa lost to the Broncos at home, and then they crushed the Eagles. So I don't know. It's like
Baltimore's had a couple impressive wins in a row,
right? But they started off rough,
2-2.
But they look like they're rolling. Bills, you know, they were 3-0. They lost, you know, Sunday night, but they probably should have lost week one to the Cardinals, who looked good, and then they got killed. I don't know. It's like. I don't know. But Adam, the Commanders.
Yeah, people are calling me Nostradamus, but you guys could just call me Adam. That's fine.
I mean, they didn't score a touchdown in week two, but won somehow. But since then, they've been, like, on fire. So.
Who kicked all those field goals? Who kicked all those field goals, Stone? Do you remember?
What, for the Redskins, now known as the Commandos?
Yeah. You remember?
Was it Folk Hero?
No.
Am I supposed to know this? Shit, I don't know.
Boston Seibert, who was the Jets preseason kicker, who did way better than Zuerlein.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
And they cut him.
Fuck. Fucking idiot. Yeah, Greg the leg. That was so obvious he was going to miss that field goal to lose the game. I had no confidence. And you know what was funny? When I was watching...
And Zuerlein, because he hit that kick against the Commanders, gave him Jaden Daniels.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I was seeing that actually on Twitter. What was funny at the bar when he missed that kick, you'd think like, you know, all the everyone there would be like, fuck, or just like so pissed off. Everyone just kind of like got up and just left. like Jets.
Same. Maybe they just wanted the game over.
Yeah.
Either way.
No, like Jet fans are just, we're so tired. We're just like, it's just, it was so funny. Everyone was just like, eh, all right, see you next week.
But I mean, it's like a, it's a real thing. Like same old Jets, right? Like
it is.
That's becoming a thing. But I do believe Rodgers is trying to change that. But the leaders in that organization are just idiots.
It is what it is.
Woody. All about Woody.
Yep. It starts at the top. With,
I don't know. Has Woody been meddling? Woody's kind of like just he's trying to let them do their thing.
He's the one constant. I mean,
yeah. I mean, he hasn't made a point other than Parcells. Wait, he wasn't even behind Parcells, right? Wasn't that Hess?
Hess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's never
in his 25 years as owner prioritized trying to bring in like a real coach, which. You know, I mean, it could be the GM too, but you know, he's got to consult. Yeah.
And then when they fire Saleh, it's just going to be like
someone taking a beepy.
Yeah, what's going on?
Sounds like the boat
running the sink.
Oh, okay.
That was me.
Okay.
They're going to sign like this up and coming coordinator with no experience, and then you know,
I honestly.
Yeah,
I think the right man for the job for you guys. I mean, if you're not going to get Vrabel, I don't think Vrabel's going to come. I think the right man for the job is Rex Ryan,
John Gruden.
I think it's Rex Ryan.
Here's my problem with Rex. Like that first year, they had so many same old Jets type losses. They kind of got lucky getting in. Let's be honest. Where he did kill it, I think was in the playoffs. They made it to the AFC Championship. Obviously, like. You know, they won two games. That was great. The second year, I thought he did a great job. And then after that, right, Paul? I mean, would you welcome him back? I mean, I don't know.
No, I don't want him back.
I
don't want him back.
I get what you're saying, Juice.
I like him.
Yeah.
I have a good, like, feeling. Like, he's a very good memory with Jet fans. I think if he came back and sucked, it would just ruin everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I want a real, like, you know, obviously a Parcells level would be like a Belichick, but he hates Woody. so he's not, we're not getting him. Nick Saban? No, he's probably done. I don't know, Gruden? Maybe John Gruden?
Just give me a guy, Gruden, who goes for it on fourth down majority of the time and hates field goals and, you know, it's not that hard. So, you know.
What about that Lions coordinator?
I don't want to go coordinator. But.
Ben Johnson?
Ben Johnson, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't feel like he wants to be like the head coach. He seems like he's just like, eh.
He's chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't heard him talk. He just seems like very like quiet and reserved.
I
don't know.
How about
the type of guy that would like to struggle in New York?
How about Kalen DeBoer?
I don't know.
Wins everywhere he goes.
I was thinking about that. Yeah. I know that the NFL is like, you made it, right? But why would anybody leave? Like, he was at Alabama, and that game last week against Georgia, that felt like the national
Super Bowl
championship.
Yeah.
And those crowds are so rowdy and wild and loud. I don't know. I would never leave that.
That was incredible. Yeah, let's pivot to college. That was incredible.
to go to MetLife? Fuck that.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So I watched that Ryan Williams touchdown 500 times.
Oh, I can't stop watching it. It's incredible.
It might be the best football play I've ever seen.
It's incredible. So he had a touchdown it was a few weeks ago against South Florida. And I texted my shouts to Joe DeFazio, Alabama alum, friend of the pod.
Joe.
And I texted him after. I was like, who is this kid? Like, because he had this amazing touchdown against South Florida. And he's like, oh, he's 17. He's like freshman, like a baby. And then he had what, like three of the most ridiculous plays and catches Saturday night against Georgia. I mean, one was better than the other. It was like unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Bama all together, man. I mean, Milroe looks like the Heisman front runner now, right? I don't know the running back's name, but he's really good.
Gentry.
He's nasty. The defense. I mean, they almost blew it. Let's be honest, but
that second half was like, I mean, if they didn't hold on, that would have been
bad.
That was all time. It was 28-0. No.
Yeah, Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
20-0, and you're Alabama at home, like.
Yeah, that could have been all-time bad, but they didn't. You know, they held on. AP number one team right now, which, you know, everyone thought Saban's gone. You know, Bama's done. Not looking that
way. That's a big coach for DeBoer.
Yeah.
A big win.
Yeah.
That's a nice feather in the cap.
I love him. I mean, obviously you guys know I loved that Washington team last year. And even before then, he won at Indiana. I don't know if he was ever a head coach there, but he coached some, some South Dakota or something like that, where he like won a bunch of titles, right?
It was like a small Division II, Division III.
Something like that, yeah. So, I mean, the guy is just a winner.
He looks the part, like on the sideline. He looks like, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's calm. He's cool, calm, and collected, I feel like. You know, you never see him, like, yelling at anybody, and he's just chilling. Go through the AP top 10. We won't go to top 25. Bama 1, Texas 2, Ohio State 3. They haven't played anybody yet. Tennessee 4, Georgia 5, Oregon 6, Penn State 7, Miami 8. Mizzou 9 and Michigan 10.
You're gonna have a hard time telling me that those weren't the two best teams in college football that played on Sunday.
I agree. Actually, I don't know. Texas.
I like Texas too, but I still think I would pick Alabama and Georgia both against Texas.
They could definitely be meeting again. They're definitely both playoff teams, obviously. Georgia's schedule, though, is brutal.
Yeah, yeah.
They still have to play Texas.
I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they still have to play Texas. I think like Ole Miss.
They basically have to win two out of those three.
Yes,
I would assume.
Yeah, because right? don't they play Tennessee too?
Yeah, at home. Still, yeah, it's a very you got to win two out of those three. If you lose those two, I think 9-3 doesn't get you in.
Right.
I mean, they might still top.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because there's so many teams now.
I know. This playoffs is going to get really it's going to be pretty interesting.
Like you might be able to get in with three. It's possible.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at the AP top 25 on one side and then the AFCA coaches poll is on the other side. And that has the same top 10 except Texas and Alabama are flipped. Texas is 1, Bama's 2. Which is interesting. Yeah, I don't know why that is, but
and they play each other this year too, no?
Does Texas and Alabama play each other?
I hope so.
I hope so too. Texas and Georgia definitely. I'd have to look Texas and Bama. I hope it happens.
So is Arch like the starter now? Like
no, they said Ewers he'll be back. Okay.
Yeah.
He says that, but I don't know. Maybe he won't.
Who knows?
What if he just throws for like 8 touchdowns this week? Bench him?
I know. It's tough. Good problem to have. Sarkisian is a coach I'd take on the Jets.
I think he did his rehab at Bama, and he became like Kiffin. These guys go to like their rehab with Saban.
Yeah. Speaking of Kiffin, man, that was a brutal loss. But Kentucky's not bad.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah. Kentucky's not bad. You know, they had Georgia on the ropes. So Ole Miss, dropped 100%. To 11 or 12.
Shout out to Lane Kiffin. He just keeps getting work. I don't know how he does it.
Keeps what?
He keeps getting hired.
He does. He does. I don't know. He does.
I feel like wherever he goes, they don't really win. And he's just so unlikable.
He's just amazing at interviewing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a character. I guess he's marketable, you know, teams like that. Let's see. Ohio State, I guess their first test is Oregon on the 12th, that big day.
They've been, like, blowing out people, but, they haven't played anybody.
They haven't played anybody. I think Oregon might be their first test in Eugene, which would be very interesting, because I don't really know if Oregon's good either. They haven't really played. Who have they played? Oregon State. They played Boise State.
Boise, yeah.
I think Boise's in the top 25. Are they in the top? Yeah, they're 21.
But I think they're 20 something.
Yeah, they're 21. Miami. Oh God, that was a. Did you guys watch that game?
Yes.
No, I missed that one.
Oh man, that was a crazy finish.
That was game of the year.
Yeah, that was nuts. Oh,
besides Georgia, Bama.
Yeah, yeah. We had the two games of the year like two nights in a row. Yeah. God, what was that? Like a 50-yard pass to end the game.
Yeah.
Vatek and the guy.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah.
I don't think it was a catch. But
no, I didn't think they were going to overturn it, though.
Right.
They overturned it.
They overturned it, yeah, because they called it a touchdown on the field, which was crazy because Miami was celebrating, and then like they're like, what, wait? Vatek actually scored, and then they reviewed it for like 20 minutes, it felt like. But Miami held
on. No fans are at the game, though. No fans are there to witness it. What a shame.
Yeah, fuck Miami. I can't believe it. You know, even the Canes can't get at people. You know, it's like weird.
Top 10 team.
Yeah. The Heisman quarterback. It's weird. Trying to think what else in college here. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, Michigan, they have no offense. I just don't see them doing anything this year.
No.
I think it's five teams. I think it's Bama, Texas, Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia right now. First 4 weeks here.
Tennessee for sure. They're really good.
I mean, that Nico kid is amazing. They're just putting up points. They went to Oklahoma and won. Defense is amazing. I want to see them play someone like when they play like Bama or Texas. I think
physical team.
Yeah, or Georgia. They played one or two or three of those teams. I gotta see, but that's gonna be the true test for them.
I would think you'll get what, three teams from the SEC or four.
I think four. I think I had like four when I did the, when I did my kind of
four.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I like kind of went through it. Adam, Kansas State, 20th.
They got Colorado this week.
Colorado, we got to talk about them. I'm glad you brought that up. I almost forgot.
Also, I forgot Missouri SEC. They're top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now we got, top 12. Top we got 12. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five of the 10 teams SEC, top 10 teams are SEC right now.
That's correct. That's
the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, Colorado, geez, they were like, I think they were getting 6.5 or 7.5 at Central Florida. And they blew them the fuck out in Central Florida.
Yeah.
They have
that Baylor game.
Baylor game. One at the buzzer. That was insane. They did lose to Nebraska pretty bad. But I think they're what, 3-1 or 4-1?
I think 4.
Yeah, not ranked, but decent. I mean, they have arguably maybe the two best players in college football.
Every single game they've played has been on national TV.
Yeah.
Hunter
is incredible. You know, Heisman
candidate. Hunter's going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft.
Definitely. I would think so. Yeah, I would think so.
Definitely.
Where's he going to play? Cornerback or both?
Both, I think.
I mean, the money is where the receivers are, right? You got to complete be a wide receiver.
Yep.
I think he'll definitely do that, but I don't know.
He's so good at corner.
That'd be cool if he played both. When's the last time that's ever happened in, like, the pros?
Wow.
Deion.
Did Deion play receiver? I know he was a kick returner.
Did Champ Bailey?
I don't know.
Or maybe his rookie. Maybe his rookie year.
Didn't the Pats have somebody?
I think. Oh, was it
Troy Brown?
Troy Brown for a minute. Yeah, he was like filling in the secondary.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, but yeah, that would that would be cool to see. I have a speaking of Patriots, I have a feeling he's going to be a Patriot because they'll probably be picking in the top five, and they don't need a quarterback, so that would suck, but. And then I'm trying to think of any other teams I wanted to bring up. But yeah, Adam, your Kansas State, they got crushed by BYU, barely beat Toledo or Tulane or something
that. Yeah, they don't look that impressive.
Yeah, totally honest. But good win over OK State. I don't know. They beat Arizona pick. They stink. I mean, they probably have the best receiver in college, but you know
they stink. Yeah.
Yeah, T-Mac, that guy's awesome, but. They're pretty bad. Paul, Notre Dame, are they a playoff team?
If they
win
out, they'll be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna blow it somewhere.
Would one more loss get them in?
No. They lose one more. They're done.
They're done.
Their schedule's it's shit outside of USC.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, they beat Louisville, but they play like Navy, Stanford. Florida State was supposed to be good, but they're terrible.
Yeah.
And at Georgia Tech. I think they're going to lose at Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a tough one. Cuse, you know, were they 3-1 or 4-1?
3-1. They play UNLV.
UNLV's really good. Really good.
Yeah.
They did. So, yeah, we got to talk about that. So, their quarterback, you know, doesn't get paid.
Oh, yeah.
So, he quits. They go out and they fucking they win big. Forgot who they beat, but
did you see like the bottom, or I don't know if it was a meme or a storyline, is like you know, the quarterback out for the season, then in parentheses it says NIL.
I did not see that. That's good though. But yeah, they
like, what the hell?
They clearly aren't missing that guy, Sluka, whatever his name is.
Yeah,
I guess their backup quarterback was pretty good. They ended up winning big this past weekend. Yeah, I feel like Cuse is going to go down again.
Imagine being like a college quarterback and you're getting all this money in NIL, and then they're like, "Hey, we're not going to pay you." Like, you're getting stiffed that young. Like, that's
well,
gotta suck.
I guess it all depends, right, on who's paying the money. Anyone can do it, right?
Right.
Like Portnoy just came out recently on a podcast, and he said he's willing to donate $3 million for a quarterback for Michigan. Like, wow. you just have like guys like that just with money, just like, yeah, I want my school to get a quarterback. It's that simple.
Man, I don't know. The booster thing makes no sense to me. Maybe because I didn't go to like a school like that, but like, I just can't see, like,
isn't that crazy?
Even if I was a rich dude, just being like, yeah, here's money.
Yeah.
Like, go sign this.
That's what it is.
Like, I don't get it.
It's like the worst investment ever. Honestly,
it is one year, like fandom. 1 year, yeah.
Unless you're just a crazy, crazy fan, but like, you know, guy gets hurt the first play, it's like, oh, okay,
yeah
or not. he might just suck also, like
he might just suck, or, yeah, man.
Well, a guy like Portnoy, just like, I mean, he'll win $3 million on a bet, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like, it's like whatever to him, you know. But yeah, crazy. Crazy. This is kind of the wild, wild west that we're in right now, with college. Heisman watch.
But I like it because it keeps these kids in college for longer. So you get to know them more, and, you know, the quality's better.
I do like that. I don't think this Sluka guy, UNLV, I don't think that's going to be a trend. I hope not, at least. So as long as it's not, I think it's fine.
No, that's not happening at like a big time school. They would never let that happen.
Right. And what's crazy though is that they're like, well, now they're 4-0, but they were 3-0, and it's like, what are you doing? Like,
I know,
you know, you couldn't figure it out. I mean, I don't know. Whatever, it is what it is. So Heisman, who's everyone's Heisman pick as of right now? I mean,
so Cam Ward is my runner up for Miami, and I'm gonna go with Travis Hunter.
Okay, so you're going with Hunter. So you don't think, like, you know, Big 12 school, they haven't really beat anyone really that good. They're not even ranked. You don't think that matters?
Nah, I'm going to roll with them.
Okay. Okay.
For now. I mean, I'm sure it'll change. But.
Yeah. I'm going to say Milroe until, you know, he has a blunder. But, I mean,
yeah,
he's been awesome. He's, I think, the favorite right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Betting favorite. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with Beck.
Okay, if they came back 100%, I'd be saying the same thing right now.
He played awesome in the second half.
Yeah,
I think they found something in the second half. Just go up tempo and throw the ball down the field, because they were just being. I watched them all year, even compared to last year, very conservative. Like, having them check the ball down, like when they went up tempo, it was like when Eli went like up tempo. He just became a different person.
Yeah.
So if they keep that going and they win out, you should probably win.
Yeah.
If Bama loses a game or two.
Yeah, yeah. That needs to play a factor. Juice, who were you going to say?
Arch Manning.
Can you imagine?
I love it.
Oh, that would be so cool.
I asked the question yesterday. I think it was in another chat. If Patrick Mahomes surpasses Tom Brady in number of Super Bowls, do you think he's better than Arch Manning?
I say no.
Oh man, yeah, it's pretty cool what's happening with Texas. But yeah, if Ewers comes back, it's probably Now, what if Ewers comes back and he sucks? Like, maybe they lose a game, you know, and he has a bad game. Yeah. Then what do you do? It's like, I don't know. It's a tough one there over in Austin. So, so let's see.
Good problems to have.
There's no way I'm pulling Arch Manning if he keeps winning. There's no way.
Who's the next big? When's Texas Georgia isn't this Saturday, is it? Oh, let me see.
I don't think so.
Let me see.
No, definitely not.
Texas schedule.
If they did that to Georgia, no, Georgia plays Auburn. I know they play Auburn.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, because if the schedule makers did the Georgia at Bama and at Texas back to back, that's cool.
So Texas plays who they just played? Oh, Mississippi State. Why? Oh, they have a bye, and then they have the Red River Rivalry, Oklahoma, on the 12th.
Yeah, October 12th is the biggest day in college football history. All those games.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be incredible. So that's the Red River Rivalry, 3:30 in Oklahoma. That's gonna be a good. Oh man. And then they play Georgia. Damn. Yeah, so like, what do you do if like Arch starts both those games and wins both those games?
Oh, you gotta stay with him.
Then you gotta stay with him, I guess. Yeah, that sucks for Ewers, but like, you know.
Adam, let's find a bar for that October 12th day and hide from the world.
So 1-3, we got the base camp anniversary party.
Oh, very nice.
And then I think I'm just gonna roll that in Tommy's and just have a whole day, and then the next day we're going to the Giant game, just a little bender. So,
oh yeah, it's the birthday. Yeah, there you go. And that day we got Oregon, Ohio State, and a bunch of other amazing USC, Penn State, and there's a bunch of other good ones too. What else? All right, should we go to baseball? We don't do this often, but I mean, it's October, right? And we got Yanks and Mets.
I actually faded the Mets today on a bet and lost.
Yeah, they continue to be hot. So I had no idea. The Mets had the best record in baseball since May 30th.
Yeah, they've been on fire.
Yeah, I'm just finding out that news now.
I know. Well, because all I can think about is they started like 0-5. You see the Frank the Tank rants. Even when they're good, he's ranting. So I just assume like they stink, you know what I mean? But I guess they've been pretty awesome the last like 3 months. 4 months, that is. So how's it work? They won tonight, so then they win tomorrow. They play the Phillies.
The best of three.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me check.
I checked earlier. I think it's the Phillies.
I think it's the Dodgers.
Okay. Either way, that's not going to be easy playing either of those teams.
But I feel like these wildcard teams always have more momentum. Like when they,
yeah,
like,
I know.
They're playing.
Very true.
I think it sucks for the guys just waiting. And baseball is very like timing and
it's
rhythm.
Momentum. Hockey too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sit for a week and it's like, ooh, stay loose. What the hell you do to stay loose?
It feels like the hot team wins more than the best team.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, hockey seems like the same way. Yanks, they are waiting for the winner of the
Royals in Baltimore. And Royals won tonight.
Royals won 1-0. Yeah, jeez.
Baltimore has lost their last 9 playoff games.
Woof. That is rough. And then what are the other teams?
Detroit beat Astros today at Houston. So I think that whole era, they're done.
I think Detroit's really hot too.
Detroit is hot.
Really good.
Yeah, and they play the winner.
Great pitching.
They play the Guardians if they keep it going, and then I think it's the Braves and Padres would play either the Dodgers or Phillies. So
yeah.
Hey, listen. I mean, Yanks Mets would be really cool. Quite honestly, the Yankees. I'm real worried about the relief pitching. I'm worried about Judge in the playoffs. He hasn't been good in the playoffs in his career. Maybe one of the greatest regular season players ever, but
he's got to step up.
He's got to do it. It's now or never. And let's see how Soto does, you know?
Yeah. Cause this might be the only year of Soto.
Yeah.
Take advantage.
Yeah. So let's see.
I mean, you have Judge and Soto in their prime with Garrett Cole in his prime. You have arguably like three of the top 10 players in the MLB, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah. It'd be really cool if it's like Mets, Dodgers, and Yanks. Well, I guess it doesn't matter. You know, anyone who the Yanks play for the ALCS wouldn't really be. I mean, it doesn't matter. But like, you know, if it's those four teams, like Yanks, let's just say Yanks, Guardians, and then Mets, Dodgers, that'd be cool. The baseball needs it. They need you know, big markets and big names like Ohtani and Judge.
That'd be great. Love to see that.
That would be unbelievable. I can't imagine how much that ticket would be.
That'd be great.
For which one?
Insane. For Yankees Dodgers, the tickets would be
ridiculous. Yeah.
Like, out of this world.
Arguably the two most, you know, biggest franchises, biggest markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and baseball needs that. They need
and
that
the stars,
badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, two biggest names, like they need that badly. That would be incredible. So let's see. Let's see.
But knowing baseball, they probably have game one on a Tuesday at 12:30 p.m.
Haven't they always done that though? With the
stupid,
it is stupid. The playoffs like in the middle of like a weekday. Yeah, they
but
always
like, not
do
even,
that.
It's not. It's like, you know, football. It's 1:04, 8:15, right?
Yeah.
NBA. Yeah. It's like 7:30, 8.
Yeah. Game one will be at noon on Tuesday, and game two will be at like 10:15 p.m.
Today's game in Houston, it showed the start time. It was 2:33. What the hell is that?
Yeah, it's weird.
2:33.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know why they do that. I don't know. But, yeah, October's here. I mean, arguably the best sports month.
Yeah.
You know, you got baseball playoffs. You got prime NFL, prime college, NBA starting. NHL starting, if you like that. God, what else? If you
fantasy basketball.
Fantasy basketball. Yes. If you like horse racing, Keeneland is open this month in Kentucky. Everything. That's like a big one. What else? Am I missing anything? It's like every sport. Every sport is in October, right? Is there anything that's not in October?
College basketball, but it starts in November. It's so close anyway.
Oh, okay. So, no college basketball. Even WNBA, right? Playoffs? Go into October here.
Yeah, they're
going now.
Liberty just beat Vegas. They go up 2-0.
Nice.
So I think it's their year. They're gonna probably win it all.
Hell yeah. So yeah, October. Here we go.
Someone had to bring a title to Barclays.
Well, you guys are not ready for the Cam Thomas show, are you?
Jeez. I like Jordy's. Big man strategy. Hope it works out for him.
You want to talk about a stealth tank? That's it right there. We're going to have Dayron Sharpe playing point guard.
What did he call it? He called it big boy
the
ball?
Big boy lineup. What was it? Ben Simmons, Dayron Sharpe, Nick Claxton.
Man, that's a lot of good it's great space.
Clowney.
Clowney and Trendon Waterford.
Jesus. So the shortest guy there is who?
I guess Waterford.
He's like, what, 6'7"?
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
That'll go great.
Great shooting, too, on that set.
Oh, jeez.
That five-man unit.
That should be fun.
I do like that Cam Thomas that averaged the most points for the season.
Right? I'm saying. Points permitted. He's among the leaders every year. Someone's got to score on that
chucking.
Team. Yeah, he's going to get him up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that should be fun. I'm pumped for NBA. Man, sports overload. We need it though. I mean, even just today.
I'll say you mentioned the NBA. It was pretty cool. I mean, we've been talking about this for years, but it was pretty cool yesterday seeing LeBron James with his son at the podium, like together wearing Lakers gear.
Yeah. I mean, obviously LeBron, not my favorite person, but it was cool just to see, you know, father and son just shooting, you know, like kind of, you know, making fun of each other and, you know.
Does he call him dad on the court? How does that work?
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to be. I don't know how that thing's going to go on.
Is this year 20 or 21?
He came in 03, right?
Yeah. 21, right?
It's 20 or 21, yeah.
It's crazy.
I hope he keeps going for, like, you know.
It's 21. Forever. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it. Just keep going. Is Bronny, I mean, is he a G leaguer? Like,
is he good?
Like,
no, yeah, he should not get any time at all. No.
Yeah, like, you know, they're making a big, I feel like they're going to try and force him in, which is like.
Yeah, they will.
You know, it's no Deuce McBride.
Let me tell you something. Seeing Klay Thompson in that Dallas jersey gave me KG in Brooklyn vibes.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work out. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see if he's got anything left.
I hear you though. I hear you.
I think they're gonna take a big step back this year, Dallas.
I think so too. I don't know. There's just something about it. You know, they just got hot at the right time last year. I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Luka's just I just picture him like coming to training camp like 20 pounds
super
heavier.
Fat.
Yeah. He got like progressively fatter as the season happened last year. I don't know how that happens.
Which I don't get it. Aren't you running on the court the whole? Like, what is he eating? What is he drinking?
I mean, Jesus Christ! Yeah,
he must pound like 10 beers a day.
Yeah, I feel like he's a big time beer drinker.
Yeah, remember he got handed the beer and Michael Finley grabbed it out of his hand. I feel
he's definitely a
beer drinker. It's Texas, so a lot of barbecue, right? So probably a lot of cornbread and.
Yeah, Tex-Mex,
yeah, a lot of Tex-Mex, yeah, a lot of beans. Who knows what he eats? But yeah, can't wait for NBA. We'll definitely. That might be the next pod, actually, depending on how things break here. We're definitely this month NBA preview pod.
Yeah,
pretty pumped for that.
I'm ready.
Yeah, the season starts in 3 weeks. Exactly.
Crazy.
3 weeks.
Yeah.
Juice, when is fantasy draft? 2 weeks, you said?
So, it'll be Tuesday the 15th, 8 p.m.
Hell yeah.
When is the opening tip?
It's the following week, so the 22nd.
Okay. Cool.
Isn't that earlier? Oh, no, they've been doing it a little earlier. It's
not
like Halloween.
Yeah,
it's not like Halloween or anything. Okay.
So I'll pick the order. I'll pick the draft order on Thursday night, so that way you bums get a chance to do your research.
All right. I love it.
Perfecto.
I love it. Yeah, I gotta start doing that. I thank God, like October, you know, with all the sports is here because the current events just today alone, like
yeah, it's depressing.
Depressing. It was like one thing after another. It's like this port strike, and then Iran bombing Israel, and Diddy 120 accusers, and you know, Kamala said this, Trump said this. I'm like, oh my God, stop it.
It's nauseating.
It's nauseating.
What's the scenario where you need 750 dildos?
Or 1,000 bottles of baby oil. It's, yeah.
Did you see Costco came out. They're like, we do not sell
baby oil.
We don't sell that product.
Yeah, that lawyer for Diddy. Jesus
Christ.
Wait,
so did I tell you my theory? Which I think was way better than the lawyer's theory.
No, let's hear it.
So if I was Diddy's PR guy, this is what I would say. Yeah, we used to have sex parties. But what we did was everyone that left, we gave a goodie bag. We gave a bottle of lube and a dildo. That's why I had 700 of them and 1,000 bottles.
That is that. I swear you should be. Yeah, you should do PR.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a perfect explanation.
I think so. That's great. Like Jeter. Like
you had a sex party. You leave in the next day and it's like, here's your dildo and your lube. It's the next party.
That's like, I love it. That's like Jeter used to give the gift package to the
exactly
the bronze
exactly.
Bang. If that was I think he denied that, but oh man, yeah, I think nothing will happen with that Diddy thing, unfortunately. You know, we're not gonna hear any names, are we? I mean, come on,
you might never know.
I mean, we got names with Epstein, nothing ever happened, so it might be like that. But
I heard they're shopping a video with an A-list there. He didn't know he was being recorded.
Okay.
Is it Ben Simmons?
I
hope
it
was Ben Simmons.
Way above Diddy. Yeah. We got to see Clive Davis go down. Clive Davis, he's really the architect of all this, apparently.
Steve Stout.
Yep. Oh,
what
fuck
do you
that
do
guy.
Like, so are you, where do you guys stand on, like, okay, now I can't listen to his music?
I mean, I kind of wasn't anyway.
Right.
Right? Like, but I wasn't, then, like regularly listening to...
Like, how broad does that envelope go? Like, or that umbrella go? Because, like, he produced a lot of stuff, too, right?
So right. Like, I mean, there's a No Way Out album.
Like, I want to listen to Biggie.
Right. Yeah? Right. Yeah. Yeah,
tough.
I know.
Stuff.
I know.
Jeez, that's all you think about when you hear like, him in the background, like,
yeah.
Yeah. Take that, take that, take that. It's like,
no, did he know?
No, no, did he know? I mean, I really feel bad for, like, Bieber, you know, because that whole thing's kind of really getting exposed. You know, ugh. Ugly, man.
Yeah.
Ugly. See. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what comes out. This is going to be, a crazy next month here. VP debate was tonight.
Still going on.
Oh, it's still happening. Yeah, I'll catch like the clips and stuff. I probably gonna be a lot of nothing.
Some memeable material.
Yeah, exactly.
They're eating the dogs.
They're eating the dogs.
The cats.
They're eating the cats. Eating the people. That was just incredible when he said that. It's laugh out loud moment. Oh my god. Too crazy. So, all right, guys. Anything else? We got to it all.
I cannot stop laughing at that Carl Anthony Towns skit that guy did.
Oh yeah,
it was so perfect. The way he changes voices just like Carl Anthony Towns. And then if you notice, like, it's fucking, it's like Martin Scorsese directed, I swear. He's like, remember when Kat, after that, I think it was an interview or something, and he's like, what the fuck did he say? He's like, after all that, like, the guy does it to a T, the exact voice. Oh my God.
Well, we've joked about on here how Kat and Caleb Williams, hottest couple in sports. Now we have them. We have the gayest guy in basketball. I love it.
It's one of my favorite clips ever is when I think Minnesota made the play-in game and like Pat Beverly's crying and they're celebrating like they won the NBA championship. But the best part of it is like Carl Anthony Towns just blowing kisses,
kisses to the crowd.
As if he cured cancer and he's just like, thank you. So,
it was like Elvis did like an encore on like his last show ever. Thank you, everybody.
I'll tell you guys, like, one of our we do surveys at the hospital, like patient for employee engagement, and one of the biggest things was like a couple of years ago, I guess they got rid of the gift shop, and then we used to have a Chase ATM, and then Chase like one day I guess just took the ATM without telling us and left. Jeez. So we had no gift shop and no ATM. So when we asked a survey of like, what are some things you want to see improvements at the hospital? The number one thing was bring back the gift shop, which we did. And the number two thing that employees wanted was the ATM back. So I got an ATM from Mike and Adam and put it back in. And like from the moment that Mike walked in, it's nonstop chatter. He's like, 15 people came up to me like, thank God. Like, finally, we have an ATM. As if like we cured cancer. And then like once I wasn't there when Mike set it up, but like when I got back, I made the announcement like at our safety huddle in front of like all the leaders, like, hey, now there's an ATM in the lobby, and they started clapping. Like
that's amazing. That's incredible.
So I don't get it. I totally don't understand why like people are going crazy about paying $3.50 to take out their own money in the lobby. But it's like, it's very important to all the employees. But I made the joke that like, I felt like Carl Anthony Towns.
You were blowing the kisses to everybody?
Blowing the kisses in the lobby to all the employees. Like I did something so amazing.
I was frying my brain trying to figure out a scenario where I would need cash at a hospital. Yeah. I just couldn't, unless there's like a, is there like, Josh, is there like a card game going on in like one of the rooms that
I don't know. I gotta talk to my boss and like ask, hey, like what, there's a lot of money being withdrawn at like weird hours, but like, is there something going on?
That is,
like, do we need like
kind of funny because it's like we live in an era now where like cash is like less popular than ever. Like everyone just, pays with a card or, whatever, Apple Pay, whatever there is. So it's kind of funny how like people are so excited about the cash. Hey, what's that about?
Yes, like, my brother had told me he thinks it's because like hospital employees, they just want to grab their check right away and get cash. So I was like, yeah, that makes sense if they're going directly to a casino.
Like,
why would you need your entire paycheck in cash like the day of?
Right.
I don't get, and like I'm cheap, so I'm like I don't want to pay the whatever the surcharge.
Same.
But like I'm trying to think the only time like I need to hit an ATM, I absolutely need this cash. I have to have it. The only time is like the barbershop, I guess. Like if you're getting a haircut, I like to pay the guy and tip him in cash. But that's the only scenario.
And I don't have that.
For me, it's either a casino or a strip club, one or the other.
Right. Like, right.
Why do I urgently need the cash at the hospital?
Yeah. For me, it used to be for like the racetrack. But everything now is like, you know, you have the apps or you could do a voucher or whatever. It's like, it's not even actually at Saratoga, they made all the food and drinks and gift shop cashless. Yep. Which people are pissed about, like a lot of the old timers.
Yeah, Barclays is like that too.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't like that. Like, we're really getting that far away from cash, you know? Like, yeah. I don't even use it that often, but I don't like that, you know?
When I go to MSG, I purposely use my Chase card because you get a discount because they have the deal with Chase.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, like
incentives.
If you wanted to buy like merch or jersey or even food or anything, they give you like 20% off.
I didn't even realize that. That's good to know because I'm a Chase cardholder, Chase banker, whatever you want to call it. Interesting.
Yeah, that's one thing that's going to be annoying. Now they have a good team. Like, it's going to cost $400 to go see my team.
I know. I saw something cool. I think I reposted it or retweeted it. I hate, just go back to Twitter. Anyway, the Jazz. Did you guys see this?
Yep.
Yeah, they're charging
like $2 for everything.
Yeah, it was like $2 or $3 hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, soda. It's awesome. Like
yeah,
like,
that's
come on.
That's the Atlanta Falcons model too.
Oh, they do that too.
Yeah, everything except for alcohol is like how it was priced 50 years ago.
Good.
It cost $2 for popcorn, $3 for hot dog or something like that.
Good, because you can't get Chick-fil-A at Falcons games. They have Chick-fil-A in the stadium, but it's Sunday, so it's not open.
Yeah, that's kind of
tough. I know. But yeah, I mean, Knicks, they make more money than any other basketball team in the world. They can't.
I think it's.
Dolan can't.
I don't know. It's just
do that. Come on.
It's just so insane. Like, I went to the Titans game last week, and they have this old stadium. And it still shits on MetLife.
Yeah, MetLife just when they were showing MetLife in that rainy, gross Jet game, it just looked like ugh, like so lifeless.
And then the worst part is you see the other, and I know they're smaller market cities, but still, like you see the Nest in Atlanta, you see the stadium in Minnesota, even Dallas Cowboys or
SoFi in LA.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Or even just like something like Lambeau, right? Which is just like, you know, they've made upgrades to it, but it's just so, you know, unique and special. It's like in the middle of like a suburban neighborhood. I don't know. It just makes me jealous.
And there's a lot of teams like the Titans, the Browns, and the Bears all have renderings. Within this decade, they will have brand new stadiums that are like crazy. The rendering, it looks like the Jetsons, like how it looks like it's futuristic, but it's they're gonna get it. It's gonna look great. And even here in New York, I think I just read it today that Steve Cohen has like an $8 billion plan for like revitalizing around City Field, making it a casino, making a park, and he's like rebuilding that entire area.
Yeah, the soccer stadium too, right?
Everything over there. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Woody, if you're listening, Jets, come on, you know.
It's over. Never happening.
It's never happening. I know. He's Woody's a Jersey guy, so like I he doesn't want to leave, you know, Jersey altogether. So is what it is. But what about just building another stadium in Jersey somewhere, you know what I mean? You know, let's separate these two teams for once. You know, Clippers are doing it.
Could they renovate the MetLife like within the off season, or it's not nearly enough time?
I just don't know what they do to like drastically change it. You know,
something, anything.
Like, if they could put a roof over it, you know.
So bad.
They should start renovating now, so we don't have to watch the football games.
Designed that? How did that get approved?
Oh God, it's so gross. It's so gross.
Anyway.
Yeah. Like you drive by it on like the turnpike and you're like,
it's terrible.
Yeah, like what is that? You know? I feel like you used to drive by like Giant Stadium and it was like, that's a football stadium. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was very basic, but like that was, you know, it had some sort of charm to it, even though it was, you know, as a Jeff fan, it was like, fuck, we're like playing in this stadium called Giant Stadium. It's kind of whack, but it was loud. I feel like MetLife can get loud, but I don't know. Whatever. Whatever.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right, guys, anything else? How was the Penguin?
I think we hit it all. It's actually pretty good. I was midway through episode 2. Okay. I liked it. Colin Farrell.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
It's him.
Yeah, I'm definitely checking really anything HBO. I'm usually willing to check out. So that one definitely. Sopranos meets Batman. I'm in.
Yeah, similar vibes. I think you guys will like it.
Yeah,
it's good.
Nice. But
for sure.
All right, so lots to watch next couple of weeks. I don't know when we'll be back on, but we'll keep each other posted and go sure. from there.
Peace.
Take care. Come here.
Later.